Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Ricardo.
I am utterly amazed. For the first time, episode 66, Philip came to the studio before me.
That's right.
Here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel. My name is Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee, from whose studios we are recording this show.
And I'm the other guy of the Two Guys and the Gospel, Father Philip Bogacki, and the pastor at Christ King Parish and St. Bernard Parish. Both of those are in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, near Milwaukee. So a few weeks ago, I stopped at the Marion Center up kind of near my parish.
Uh-huh.
And there's a wonderful gentleman volunteering there.
They gave you
there.
A watch?
No. He said, oh, you're one of those two guys. You're the one who was always late.
Yeah.
And I felt terrible because that's not the way that I am. But
yeah, but it just happens.
So let's just go on the record that I was here first today.
Very good.
We were both pretty close to being
I was a little late because I have to confess, I got an article published in the Catholic Herald and I was reading it.
All right.
So happy.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
It's a very good article. I haven't read it yet, but I'm going to say it's wonderful. But it came out in the paper that I haven't quite read yet.
So
what's the title, by the way?
It's called Parishes Can Be Rebuilt and the Tools Are There. I attended a conference by these people who wrote Rebuilt, Nativity of the
book.
Lord Parish,
yep.
In North Baltimore, and it was a great experience.
Yeah.
So I write about it, yeah.
It's worth checking out this article in particular, the Catholic Herald. You can go to the Catholic Herald website from Milwaukee, a great newspaper. And by the way, you work here also part-time here at the Cousin Center, where mm-hmm. our studios are in the basement. What's the story with the geese? For years, are these geese run the parking lot? So these geese are aggressive, I've heard, but they were sitting right in front of the driveway today.
We preach so much about being a welcoming church that even the the geese come to the Cousin Center. So isn't that great?
It's interesting. We think about kind of animal management, and we just let the animals take over here, it sounds like.
So we've talked about the conference. We've talked about you not being late today, about the Marian Center, about the Catholic Herald, and about geese.
It's a lot, and we're only a few minutes in.
Yes, we are 2 minutes in.
So what we're going to be doing is talking about Ascension Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
Explain a little bit of an explanation as to this Sunday.
It's good to remember that this traditionally was on Thursday.
Right.
It's 10 days before the Feast of Pentecost. 9 days before the Feast of Pentecost. That was the idea. In Milwaukee, like in many other dioceses in the U.S., it's been transferred to Sunday. And the idea is that we have this week now, 9 days originally, a week now, between Jesus going to heaven, departing earth after the resurrection, then he ascends to heaven, and we have this week in between before he fulfills the promise of sending the Holy Spirit to the community.
Yeah. So it's important to know that when you go to Mass, if you're in other parts of the world or the country, so in particular, I think much of Europe still observes Ascension Thursday.
Mm-hmm.
When you come to Mass on Sunday, then on May 13th, it's going to be the seventh Sunday of Easter. And that's true in some dioceses in the United States. I think it's Washington, D.C. is one of them. And a few other relatively significant dioceses in the United States still keep that calendar. But just a little asterisk, when you go to Mass, if you're in other parts of the country or world, you might be celebrating seventh Sunday of Easter. Here, when Ascension takes place on Sunday, that seventh Sunday then is abrogated.
And we are going to read the Gospel, but I would recommend to people that they pay attention to the first reading. We've said it before, the first reading during Easter is in Acts, and both for this feast, the Ascension, and for Pentecost, the first reading is very important. I believe Luke explains things very well, even better than John's Gospel, I would say, or Mark's Gospel that we read today. So pay attention to both readings. That's important, I believe.
Exactly. In connecting to the feast, Acts of the Apostles, you're right, just that very simple explanation you gave, Acts explains it much better, what exactly is
mm-hmm.
happening.
Yeah.
So let me read, though, from the Gospel. This is from Mark chapter 16, verses 15 to 20, for the Ascension of the Lord. Jesus said to his disciples, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. Whoever does not believe will be condemned. These signs will accompany those who believe. In my name they will drive out demons, they will speak new languages, they will pick up serpents with their hands, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will not harm them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then the Lord Jesus, after he spoke to them, was taken up into heaven and took his seat at the right hand of God. But they went forth and preached everywhere, while the Lord worked with them and confirmed the word through accompanying signs. So what I like about this time of year, I mean, many reasons, it's springtime, but during this time of year now, the end of the Easter season, we'll come to with Pentecost, but this time as well, but it's a good time to sort of step back and to look at all those post-resurrection appearances. I don't know if you've ever heard, I've never heard about how long we think Jesus was around between the resurrection and maybe the ascension. Was it, maybe this is a basic fact, I just don't know. But just to think about those kind of relationships he engaged in, you know, during that time, and just a nice time to reflect on that and the value of community that really has embraced this this Easter season.
And it seems to be one of the topics that you are insisting on this podcast, and I suppose on your preaching, the idea of that we need to be communities of the resurrection. For me, the ascension completes the process in the sense that Jesus says, yes, I'm risen, I'm very human, as we've been discussing, but at the same time, it's time for me to move on. So he promises his disciples his presence at the same time that he says, now it's time for you to move on and preach the gospel. I think that's important for some, especially for some people that feel like they're super needed. And even Jesus said, time for me to move into a new stage, and it's time for the disciples to go out and preach the good news everywhere. And then you could take these sentences very literally, but Jesus is giving the disciples authority to heal, right? It says something about healing the sick, something about being protected from, it says poison, but I believe it means from any harm. Mm-hmm. I think it's very encouraging for us to read this and to feel what we've said many times. We are called to be disciples of Jesus who received that mission to proclaim the good news everywhere.
Something that's amazing in the Christian faith that I really believe is unique among the world religions is how God, through his son Jesus Christ, actively calls us to cooperate in the mission, just as you said, to actively be part of it. We're not bystanders. We're not relying just on him. He says, no, you be active participants, to the point where, as you said, Jesus says, I'm ascending into heaven. I'm moving on. This mission is yours. You don't let it languish. It's not going to die. But in fact, I'm going to be present with you through your actions. And I really like your point about moving on. That's so very important as we think about not only just in a practical sense, whether it be at a job, or sometimes we see this in parishes and volunteers, but also just the reality of aging and kind of stages in life to say, are we really, this is from Ron Rollheiser, speaks of this often, are we blessing those who have who are going to come after us? Are we really entrusting them with those gifts that we have and entrusting them to go on and to make a better world after us? Or do we hold on, you know, do we refuse to kind of acceptance about moving on in stages in life?
The other thing I would say, I agree with you 100%. The other thing I would say is that this sentence going to the whole world, of course, it inspires the church to be truly missionary in the strict sense of the word, to be everywhere, to go to all the continents. But what does it mean for us, for some people that are not going to pack things up and go to Africa tomorrow? It means go into the whole world. For me, it means go into any situation. And the Pope Francis has been very good at telling us, you will find God's voice and God's presence and God's will, especially in the peripheries of society. If we need to be critical of something, I believe we've been a very comfortable church. And this message of go everywhere means also go into any situation. Go into, you know what I mean, into any subculture. There are many places where the church should be more present, I believe. And just embracing this spirit of being missionaries, missionary disciples.
Yes. I agree with you 100%, but I'd clarify, when we say the church, sometimes we seem to be pointing to others or to some other institution. You know, it's us who are part
exactly.
of the church. It's us
who
go out and do it. And that's Pope Francis on World Day of the Poor a few months ago said, it's deeds, not words. Mm-hmm. And I think it was a really good reminder. Let's not just talk about these things. Go out and do it. You know, don't tell others to do it.
Exactly. When Jesus says, preach the good news, and then I think it's St. Francis who says, and use words when necessary, right?
Yeah.
Because it's about what we do. We invited people also before to look at the first reading. Mm-hmm. You have it there. I have it here. It's interesting how in Luke is much more critical, that the disciples are still not understanding completely. He tells them, the Holy Spirit has not been sent to the community, so they're still asking, is this now, when you are restoring Israel, what they wanted? Even after the resurrection, even about to go up to heaven,
right?
And the disciples are still It's the beginning of Acts, so it will take them a long time to experience conversion, Peter and Paul and Philip. But that's the point, that even those who met Jesus on earth, even those who experienced his resurrection, they had still a difficult time because they're still asking about the restoration of Israel.
Sometimes I've heard the phrase from children, it's from adults as well. We have this sentiment, oh, it'd be so much easier to be a Christian and to live this out if Jesus physically was here, you know, if we could kind of listen to him once again. Well, that's not necessarily the case. And you just made that point. These apostles and disciples really gained their courage, their strength, and moving forward, in fact, after this, with the power of the Holy Spirit and them understanding their mission, with Jesus not being around. Again, going back to sometimes we need to step aside for amazing things to happen. Mm-hmm. You know, none of us is the Savior.
I agree.
Even Jesus, who is the Savior,
I agree.
Says, I'm leaving now, and it's up to you to continue this mission.
Jesus sees once again in the first reading from Acts that the disciples are still not understanding what he says, I will send you the Holy Spirit, and then you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, to the ends of the earth. It's a beautiful first reading. I think it's a gospel also. And then it finishes by saying, men of Galilee, what are you doing here looking at the sky? Yeah. At least in Spanish, we have an expression that means when you are looking at this like pie in the sky kind of thing.
Sure.
That's the same idea.
Oh, yeah.
So these two men in white telling this, come on, people, move on. you saw everything you had to see. Now it's time to act. What a beautiful invitation for us in this last week of preparation for the great feast of Pentecost, that we are being told in so many ways that it's time for us to take over and to embrace that missionary character that we believe the Catholic Church has.
I think as I look forward to preaching this weekend, so in both parishes, we've had a few staff changes due to some retirements and things going on. Not a lot, but they're visible sorts of people, a wonderful youth minister, for instance. But it's a reminder, I've kind of been saying this, that holiness and following the will of God requires change. And we should never be comfortable. And that's true. We've seen that in the Easter season here at Ascension, that Christianity is not, comfortability is not a Christian value, mm-hmm. or stability necessarily. And I think that that's important. Important for us as well, and in parishes, to say we all need to continue to move on and to change and adjust in how we live out this mission. So that time to move on, you saw me write it down. I think that's something that I might be focusing on this weekend, I think.
Very good. I think we have enough, and what a beautiful week spiritually, mm-hmm. this time of absence. Jesus leaves, and we prepare for the Holy Spirit. At my parish, so that you know, I did preach a series during Easter.
Yeah.
Beginning, not immediately at the beginning, I believe, beginning the fourth Sunday in Easter. And we've preached about the gifts of the Holy Spirit to prepare the community for Pentecost.
Okay.
And you are a systematic theologian, I'm not. But it's been wonderful.
That's a generous label for me.
well, whatever, you know what I mean. I've mm-hmm. always been a little reluctant to approach things systematically, theologically. You know what that means. And it's great to go through the list of the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to see what the fathers and mothers of the church said, what St. Augustine said, what Aquinas said, a wonderful experience, at least for me. I don't know how wonderful it was for my parishioners, but it's been a great journey for me.
All right. Well, thanks for gathering together. If by chance you're looking for Mass Times, we'd strongly encourage that. MassTimes.org is the national site to do that. Here in the Milwaukee area, archmill.org is the archdiocesan website.
And as we always say, if you know anybody who would benefit from knowing of the existence of the podcast, let them know. We are very glad that we know from people that really get some help with this.
By the way, my friend at the Marian Center, he would be, so I don't want to refer to age, but he's young at heart. A little bit more senior, but he was right up on the podcast and he said, oh, I've got to remember to give you a 5-star review. You know, I don't know how to give reviews on some platforms.
I tried to give ourselves a review and they wouldn't take it. See you next week.
All right, I'll see you next week.
Take care.